Today's scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. As Jesus was passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother. They were casting a net into the sea since they were fishermen. "Follow me," Jesus told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him.
We're going to look at some principles of leadership that Jesus taught. Jesus leading by serving is the title that I gave to the message, because I think that this is the difference between a lot of the books that you read about leadership and the Bible, the greatest book on leadership. So again, I'm not trying to put a wedge between good books on the subject of leadership and the Bible. I think in many points they are compatible. But there is one major difference, and I went through the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. Again, it was written by John Maxwell, and I don't want to slander him or anything like that. I think it's a fine book. He wrote more from, I think, a common sense perspective on leadership. But I think one thing that's left out in most books of this kind is the leadership that Jesus taught, not only by precept, and not mostly by precept, but mostly by his example, and that is leading by serving. Leadership is more than being king of the hill. Now, when I was a boy, growing up back in Illinois, we used to play a game called King of the Hill. Did anybody ever play King of the Hill? Okay, I see one girl over here played King of the Hill. Any other ladies that played King of the Hill? Okay, we have a few tomboys. I see one back there. I think I saw a hand over there. Well, we had a lot of dirt piles back in Illinois. I haven't seen as many dirt piles here, but it seemed like everywhere we looked back there, we had a dirt pile. So on every dirt pile, we think, oh, you know, that's a great place to play King of the Hill. So we'd get a few friends together, and we'd say, let's play King of the Hill. And so we would go scrambling to the hill, and the first one to the top would have to defend it. And, you know, we'd do whatever we had to do to defend it. Sometimes we'd throw dirt clods. Hit my brother right in the eye one time, almost put his eye out. Mom almost never forgave me for that. But that's the kind of leading that we thought, you know, this was what being a leader was, being king of the hill. But Jesus modeled for us a leadership by serving him and others in his name. Jesus said, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And so leadership, according to Jesus, is serving others. What can we learn here about his style of leading by serving? So I want us to look at some aspects of his leading, beginning today with this scripture passage in Mark chapter 1. If you'll turn there in your Bible, it might be helpful if you have a Bible there, or there may be one in the pew. But we're going to look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. This is when Jesus called Peter and Andrew to be his disciples. Peter and Andrew, as you may know, were fishermen, as many of the disciples were. I think seven of the disciples were fishermen. And we have some people here that are kind of accustomed to being on the water, Chris and Courtney, I believe, Navy people, sailors. Do they call women sailors too, Courtney? Okay. So we have two sailors in the finest of the military services branches, the Navy. I was in the Navy, so we're glad to have you with us. And we have some others that are kind of local Navy people. I mean, even though they're not Navy in the Navy, they live on the water. They're called fishermen. Well, there were those in Jesus' day in the region of the Sea of Galilee. And there were two named Andrew and Peter. And here Jesus, in verse 14, it says, was passing by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Andrew Simon's brother. They were casting a net into the sea since they were fishermen. "Follow me," Jesus told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Now, if you have a King James Version, it says fishers of men. Now, I kind of like this translation, fish for people. I think that's really what it's saying. The Greek word is actually men, anthropos, the word that we get our word anthropology from. But surely Jesus meant more than just fishing for the male gender of the species. I agree. I appreciate that. Wherever that came from, Joanne, thank you. All you ladies, say amen. Because that's what what is the truth here. Fish for people is really, I think, gets at the sense of the meaning here. So leadership, according to Jesus, is serving others. And here we can see it in his approach to the Sea of Galilee, his calling out to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." There's great leadership here. I love John Wayne. Some of you might like John Wayne. I love the John Wayne movies. And one of my favorite is the movie They Were Expendable, about a Navy PT boat crew. I just love his style of leadership, but there are some deficiencies there. There's some faults there. When we look at different leaders in this world, whether it's in the sphere of business or sports, for example, or many other areas, cooking. I shouldn't say cooking. That sounds like I'm sexist, I guess. But my wife likes a show called The Iron Chef, which is kind of like the Super Bowl of cooking, I guess. But there are leaders in every field, and we admire different leaders that are leaders in the field that we are interested in or that we work in. But there is no person more important, I believe, to look to as an example for leadership than Jesus. And so we're going to look this morning at the scripture there. If we could just kind of focus in on what is being taught there in the scriptures about this subject of leadership principles. I think the first principle that I notice here is that Jesus was intentional. It says that he was passing by the Sea of Galilee. As I read the Gospels, I never find that Jesus was ever accidentally in the wrong place or that he just was killing time, maybe skipping stones or something. He might have been doing that, but I think he was intentional in everything that he did here, in the Gospels. Everywhere that we read about him, we learn that he was intentional. And why that is important is that I think there are many people who are just kind of going through the motions in life. They really don't have a purpose in life. They don't really have a feeling, a conviction that every day has a purpose, that God has put them there for that reason. Every day, God has put us where we are for a purpose. And so Jesus was intentional in going. He was passing along the Sea of Galilee. Now, you probably know that that was kind of his home territory. He was from Nazareth, which is maybe 10 miles from the Sea of Galilee. And it was common for people from that area where he lived. He had left home. He had begun his earthly ministry. But still, this was his home. And so as he passed along, we're told he saw Peter and Andrew. There was going. Now, that's important because in the Great Commission, God tells us, Jesus tells us, Jesus, who is God, said, go and teach all nations. Go. That's the first part of that command. We are to go. We are to be concerned. We are to go with a mission, with a purpose, with an intentionality, as Jesus did here. There was going. There was seeing. Here it says that he saw Peter and Andrew, Simon. Well, Simon is Peter. Jesus gave him the name of Peter, kind of a nickname, I suppose. But it was really his given name, given by the Lord himself. But Simon and Andrew, it says, were there, casting the net into the sea, since they were fishermen. He saw. Many others saw, or many others see, but Jesus really sees. I think if we were to see Peter and Andrew there, we probably would have thought, well, these are probably not good candidates to be disciples, to be leaders in any field, maybe in the area of fishing. But we wouldn't think there was anything out of the ordinary there. And I wonder as we go through our lives, do we see people as kind of obstacles, kind of as people that kind of just kind of get in the way maybe? I kind of wish, you know, they were somewhere else. Jesus never did that. Jesus was intentional in going and in seeing. He saw with the eyes of his heavenly Father. And may we have that prayer. Lord, help me to go. Help me to see. Help me to talk. Most of us are okay at talking. Some are very adept at it. Some more than others. But we're to talk about things of eternal importance. I don't mean to suggest that we should never use small talk. I think Jesus sometimes even did that just to start a conversation. When he came to the woman at the well, you may remember, he just said to her, give me a drink. Began a conversation with her. But the important thing is that we talk to them about Jesus. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. There's intentionality here. And may we be intentional. May we begin the day with a prayer. Lord, help me to be intentional for you. Help me to fulfill today what you want me to do with regard to your commandments, especially your great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And beginning where I am, may I see the people as you would want me to see them. May I tell them about you. So there's intentionality here that we can learn from. There's also the aspect of being motivational. Jesus was motivational in his leadership style, if you will. He was intentional. He was motivational. Motivational just means he motivated people. He got people in motion. He inspired them to a level higher than themselves. He lifted them up. Every great leader will do that. I'm kind of a sports fanatic, I guess some would say that. I like sports. I think there are a lot of lessons for life in sports, a lot of negative things too. But every great coach I know will motivate his players to be better than themselves. Otherwise, there really is no reason for that person to be a leader. And that's really what leadership, part of leadership certainly, to be motivational. There was a challenge, first of all, in that motivation. Jesus laid a challenge before them. He said, follow me. Now, I wonder if any of us could really say that, follow me. I've thought about that with my own example. And I know as a dad, I made a lot of mistakes. I certainly wouldn't want my children to follow me in everything that I did, everything that I said. every thought that I thought. And I, you know, we're imperfect people. We're sinful people. I remembered what Paul said. Now, Paul was a sinner, a saved sinner. But he said to the Corinthians, he said, follow me, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Follow my example as I follow Christ's example. I think this is part of being a Christian leader, that we set the example. I don't think Paul was saying, insofar as I follow Christ's example, because you know that I'm not a very good Christian. I don't think he meant that. I think he meant, I'm striving with all my might to be the person that God wants me to be. And I'm working on those things and letting the Lord work on those things in my life that are imperfect, that are sinful. And I commit them to the Lord. And I ask him, make me a better person. Make me more like you, Jesus. And follow my example, Paul said, as I follow Christ's example. It's a part of leadership, to be motivational, to lay a challenge before people. And then that there's a change also involved. Are we willing to change? And can we call people to change? Peter and Andrew. Now, Andrew, you may know, had been a disciple of John the Baptist. We're told that he went and by John, told that he went and told his brother, Peter or Simon, we have found the Messiah. Now, I think Andrew by this time was more inclined to follow Jesus than Peter. But there was obviously a change needed in their lives, not necessarily from fishing. I know sometimes we feel maybe stuck in a rut and we wish, you know, someone would come and pull us out of that rut, make us, you know, give us a job that was really worthy of our high intelligence and skills. And we feel unappreciated. And so, you know, that kind of change maybe we'd be okay with. But he was calling them to a life really of the cross, wasn't he? He was calling them to take up their crosses and follow him. Jesus wasn't wealthy. Jesus couldn't promise them a big salary or any salary for that matter, or all of the things that we expect out of life. But he called them to change. And I really believe that unless we call people to change and inspire them to that change of life that can only bring them higher, and will bring them higher if they will follow Jesus. And if they will do, like Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, if we will live out that example before them, then we should call them to change. Using the sports analogy, for example, one of my favorite teams is the Chicago Cubs. We're back from, you know, the old country, Illinois, Midwest. I've been disappointed many times over the last 100 years. 101 now. They've been without a World Series. They're waiting for a Savior to come and you know, bring in the World Series title, but it hasn't happened yet. But I think maybe change is needed in every organization. A change to lift us higher in every person's lives. I think in our own lives, there are things in our own lives that need changing. And so Jesus called them to change, called them to courage. Jesus was not afraid to say what needed to be said. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fish for people. His courage inspired others to have courage. It's like a leader in battle. His courage inspired others to have courage. I think it took courage for Jesus to say what he said. And to walk along the two strangers fishing, I'm sure fishermen weren't known to be gentlemen. In the kind of the English, you know, gentleman stereotype, I don't think that they were that way at all. I think they're pretty rough speaking, kind of fanatical about their job, and they probably despised outsiders telling them what to do. So it took courage for Jesus to do what he did, and he calls us to that courage. Consequential is the third principle that I see here in the example of Jesus. He was consequential in calling these fishermen, which was their occupation, to really a higher occupation. I think that they continued to be fishermen. I'm not sure that they were fishermen quite in the same sense that they were before as occupational fishermen. But certainly God took what was in their hand, used it to his glory, because they were willing to follow Jesus. They were fishers. And Jesus calls us to be like them, fishers of people. To win people, to draw people in in the net, gospel net, and bring them to salvation through Christ, and through faith in Christ. Their vocation, it was consequential in their vocation. Maybe you feel sometimes like, I wonder why I'm here. I wonder why I'm in this kind of a remote area. Most are glad. I mean, we just came from a trip back east to some of the population areas. Went through Dallas, Fort Worth, and Atlanta. A lot of country in between, of course. But a lot of population and a lot of crowded highways and so forth. Sometimes we're glad for that, but sometimes we may feel we're forgotten. Sometimes we may be glad that we're not there and here. Christ has called us, nevertheless, to this vocation, this calling to be fishers of people. I just want to challenge us this week to think about people not as fish in the sense that we're bug-eyed and look like a fish, but that people need to be gone after. Fish are not going to just jump in the boat. Fish are going to have to be sought out. There's going to have to be dedication, sometimes some long hours spent. Certainly prayers and agonizing. Yeah, I'm not a fisherman. Some of you are, but I know there are some fishermen that are really serious about their fishing, and so they get all the latest electronics and all of the latest gear and the boat, just the right boat, and kind of research the places that are where the fish are known to be. Well, we ought to approach our task in the same way, our vocation, if you will, with the same zeal as a fisherman, dedication as well. Consequential in dedication, Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost, and he was willing to pay the price. And I'm so glad he did. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't even be here in this world. I'd be in hell. And I'm just thankful that Jesus came to me and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I noticed that this is one of the laws that was left out of that 21 irrefutable laws, but I believe it's an irrefutable law for a Christian that we lead by serving. I've mentioned it many times, but I just think we need to think about our Lord on that last night before he was betrayed and went to the cross. The Bible says he stooped down. He girded himself with a towel like a servant would do. And he stooped down and he washed his disciples' feet one by one. He said, "As I have done for you," or "to you, so you should do for one another." May God impress that upon our minds and our hearts, that we may be servants, servant leaders like our Lord.
It's been sung, it's been prayed countless times throughout time. It's been said a thousand ways by children and kings, poets and priests. I like to say it again. Let me say it once again. I love you, Lord, and I just want to say I love you, Lord. As simple as it sounds, in you my heart is found. I love you. It's been sung, it's been prayed, sing along, countless times throughout time. It's been said a thousand ways by children and kings, poets and priests. I like to say it again. Let me say it once again.
How much you love Jesus?
I love you, Lord. And I just want to say, I love you, Lord. As simple as it sounds, in you my heart is found. I love you. I love you, Lord. And I just want to say, I love you, Lord. As simple as it sounds, in you my heart is found. I love you.
Do it one more time. And if you can sing along, it'll be awesome. Let's lift it up to Jesus.
It's been sung, it's been prayed countless times throughout time. It's been said a thousand ways by children and kings, poets and priests. I like to say it again.
How many times do you love Jesus?
Let me say it once again. I love you, Lord. And I just want to say, I love you, Lord. As simple as it sounds, in you my heart is found. I love you. I love you, Lord. And I just want to say, I love you, Lord. As simple as it sounds, in you my heart is found. I love you.